You're listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, on Live 365, and on the TBFS Radio Network. This top-ranked business radio broadcast features the obstacles and challenges that business owners endure on the road to success. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, Allison Lindstrom, I'm Kevin Hunter. Stay tuned. The Business Forum Show is next. TBFS Radio Network. Kevin Hunter and Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show, chatting about contract law and specifically some of the boilerplate terms. And we'll get into a couple of these here in a moment, but describe what boilerplate is for the benefit of our listeners.
Kevin, boilerplate is the kind of the standard set of terms that you typically would find at the end of a contract that can, they're universal. They can be used regardless of the type of transaction. And they cover little things that you want to keep little things so they don't become big things in the event of a dispute.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of those, you know, those one thing in, those, in the lawyer's toolbox that we pick out and pop into the contract to kind of button things up at the end of the contract.
Okay, so let's get into some of these terms. The two we're going to talk about here in this show will be choice of law and then also modifications and modification clause. Choice of law is a really interesting thing to me in that, you know, I think a lot of people assume that if you're contracting in the state of Minnesota, you're dealing with Minnesota law, but that's not necessarily the case, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. You know, and as transactions become, you know, national and international in scope, mm-hmm. the choice of law clause in a contract is becoming more and more important. And if I can just recite the one little sentence as what choice of law says, you usually find the contract, it'll say choice of law or governing law, and in this case, this one contract I brought along here says, this agreement and performance hereunder shall be governed by the laws of the state of Minnesota. So just like you said, pretty straightforward. It's governed by Minnesota law,
mm-hmm.
right? But that's not always the case. And I'll give you an example. I was working with a client right now doing a real estate transaction where they're doing a 1031 tax deferred exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Working with a friend of mine, also an attorney, who handles the exchange part, and he sent me over the documents, and it talked about choice of law being California. And I called him up, and I said, "Why? What's with the choice of law in California? What's with using the bank in California?" Well, what happened was there was an exchange company that filed bankruptcy, and exchange companies hold funds in escrow for these transactions. And the Ninth Circuit out in California had the most favorable decisions for the parties whose money was involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so as a result, the exchange companies now use banks in California and use governing law of California
mm-hmm.
In their contracts. And
mm-hmm.
Totally makes sense. Okay, good. So you have to, a lot of big companies will maybe use Delaware law. And we've talked before on the show about Delaware law and the advantages of it with this court of chancery and this large body of business law that this special court has decided. Some big companies, especially those that are incorporated in Delaware, will want to make Delaware law the governing law for their contracts because of the large body of law that Delaware has on governing business disputes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have to have some reason. I mean, there has to be some reasonable connection to whatever the choice of law is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just pick out, we're going to use this because we're going to use South Dakota law because of this. You know, there are some banks and stuff that use, you know, different jurisdictions because of, you know, usury laws and what interest rates of interest they're allowed to charge and all that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff. So again, another example of choice of law. So you look at the that clause, and when you have parties in different states, it can be a little bit of a contention in terms of which states' governing law is used. It all
mm-hmm.
depends on what the situation is. And one thing to point out is choice of law is not the same as jurisdiction clause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just saying that the contract is governed by the law of Delaware doesn't necessarily mean that Delaware courts are going to hear the dispute
mm-hmm.
if both parties are here in Minnesota. That's a separate issue. You have to specify that any disputes would be heard in the the district courts of whatever county and whatever state.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a separate issue. You know, so you can have a situation where you have a judge in Minnesota applying the law of a different state because the choice of law clause specifies a different state, but the contract may be silent as to jurisdiction or venue for the actual dispute.
So then how big a deal is it if you have jurisdiction in a court in Minnesota, but you're using law in Delaware or California or any other state for that matter, how big a deal is it to make sure that you have somebody, a judge presiding on the case that's actually familiar with that law in the other state?
I would, if one party has... You know, say you had governing law being Delaware and one party was in Delaware,
mm-hmm.
then, they can bring the action in Delaware, not as big of an issue. If you have a situation where neither of the parties are in that state,
mm-hmm.
and you still have to prove that there's a connection as to why you're using that governing law, but I would specify at the same time that any dispute, any matter regarding the contract would also be heard in the courts in that jurisdiction to make sure that you have judges hearing the case that know the law that you want to have applied.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it goes hand in hand that you should be someone that's knowledgeable in that law specify that they hear the case.
Sure. So what about a modification clause?
Modification again is important. We've talked before about integration. It's another one of those that in this day and age of text messages and emails and everything else, even more important than I think in integration, with integration where you are kind of closing the deal mm-hmm. Merging it into the written contract. Modification kind of protects the integrity of the written contract that you've negotiated
mm-hmm.
and signed. Regardless of whether a performance is different from the contract, regardless of whether there's some email back and forth or a text. Modification says that it can't be altered except by writing by the parties. And the modification clause I have in my contract here, this agreement may not be modified, altered, or amended except by written instrument duly executed by both parties.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning both parties have to sign it and it has to be in writing to be a valid modification. Otherwise, the contract is as it is on the day that the party signed it.
So if somebody should email the other party and say, hey, this is what I understand, and they email back saying correct.
Right.
That doesn't qualify.
Let's say a contract where there was a payment obligation on a monthly basis,
mm-hmm.
and someone said, I'm a little tight this month, can I just pay this? And someone says, sure, make it up next month or whatever, something mm-hmm. like that. That doesn't necessarily... That doesn't mean you've now changed the payment schedule
mm-hmm.
in the contract because it wasn't a writing signed by the parties.
Exactly. Kevin Hunter and Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show chatting about boilerplate terms that you'll find in your contracts and specifically today, choice of law and modifications. Jeff, you always make the comment about don't go DIY on this because it'll be SOL.
That's right.
Get an attorney involved in your contract situation. Make sure you have the proper terms in your boilerplate in your contract. Kevin Hunter here on the Business Forum Show. Thanks for listening.
I wish I had a steady job as an employee. As a business owner, I've heard myself saying that before. We opened our business and we were on our way to living the American dream. Soon afterwards, I found myself working 75 hours a week and losing tons of money. What kind of mom was I to our three young children? Fortunately, I found Action Coach Metro-North. We were able to reduce my hours in half and increase our revenue by 252% after working with my coach. If a mom like me can do it with the help of an Action Coach, why can't you?
Reclaim your life and business and go to freeactionplan.com. Let Action Coach proven system put you on a path to achieve your goals. Kick the habit of business as usual. Go to freeactionplan.com today and schedule a free action plan session. That's freeactionplan.com. Get into action today. Let Action Coach Business Coaching help you. freeactionplan.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Hunter in the Business Forum Show.
If you're like many other business owners and business professionals out there who are struggling to produce more leads and more customers for your business, you can likely relate to what I'm about to share with you. In the previous decade, it worked to mail out things like flyers, letters, and postcards to get people's attention. Throw in a little radio advertising or TV advertising, and the leads just seemed to pour in. We all know this has changed, and this change has brought new challenges, and many companies have not found a good way to solve it. The problem is this. Over 4 million households have left daytime TV in the last few years. We also know that radio listenership has dropped by as much as 50 to 70% in many markets, and newspapers are losing readership at double-digit rates every year. When we ran marketing matrices on flyers, direct letters to clients, and postcards, none of them could produce better than a 0.068% response rate. That's less than 0.1%. The sum of these challenges leaves most companies with marketing and advertising budgets that are in the tens of thousands of dollars every month with very little to show for it. The answer is video. But spending thousands of dollars on professionally produced marketing videos can be impossible for a business to budget for. But here's the good news. You don't have to. What we've learned is that the most effective video from you to your client is actually footage you've created yourself. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't have to still look professional. That's where a video technology platform from TalkFusion Connect comes in. With packages that start at $315, $815, and $1,564, a one-time expense, you can produce high-tech video that will not only drive in clients, but significantly improve your customer responses, and also push your website up to front-page search results due to a phenomena called white labeling. Better yet, you'll get all the free advice and guidance from us that you need to kick this off successfully in your business today. After using the Connect platform on the Business Forum show for just 1 month, our online media and other links doubled in traffic, and our visitors nearly tripled. Video technology is where it's at, and the advantages of the Connect platform and its white label benefits can blow up your marketing literally overnight. You can get started today by sending an email to the Business Forum Show at kevinhuntertbfs@gmail.com. Again, that's kevinhuntertbfs@gmail.com. Or visit our website and click on the link for video technology. You can also call the studio at 763-267-7260 and ask us to send you a link to get your Connect platform working today. The number again is 763-267-7260. Don't spend another dime on marketing models that aren't working. Get started on your video platform today. Call us now, 763-267-7260. The future of your business counts on it. I'm Kevin Hunter on the Business Forum Show. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, on Life 365, and on the TBFS Radio Network. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and Allison Lindstrom, I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening.